Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 46 at 17,910. S&P 500 down a fraction of a point at 2,099. NASDAQ Composite up 19 at 5,147. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 9 basis points at 2.33%. Oil down 68 cents at $44.52 per barrel. The economy added 271,000 jobs in October, beating expectations of about 180,000. The unemployment rate fell from 5.1% to 5%. That's a 7.5-year low. The U.S. has added an average of 206,000 jobs a month in 2015. In the past 12 months, the economy has added 2.8 million jobs. The U6 unemployment rate, which includes discouraged and underutilized workers, dropped to 9.8% in October. It's the first time it's fallen below 10% since May 2008. The number of Americans working part-time because of a weak economy fell to 5.7 million in October. Revisions to prior reports added a total of 12,000 jobs to payrolls in the previous 2 months. August revised higher from 136,000 to 153,000. September revised lower from 142,000 to 137,000. Still, employment averaged only 145,000 in August and September. Now, this raises questions about why the numbers were so weak in August and September and why the numbers for October were so strong. Was there a big shift in the labor market? Well, probably not. More likely, this is statistical noise. It's difficult to track the labor market. It is impossible to track it with absolute precision. This does not mean the numbers are wrong. It's always tricky to read too much into one jobs report, but when you combine August, September, and October, you have 187,000 jobs for the three-month average. Not bad. Average hourly earnings rose by 0.4% from the prior month, up 9 cents to $25.20 an hour. Worker pay increased 2.5% over the 12 months ended in October. That's the most in 6 years. They've been stuck near 2% on average since the current expansion began in mid-2009. Wage growth means more money in people's pockets, which means more spending, which means more demand, which means more business activity, which means more jobs at higher wages, which means more people getting back into the labor pool. Indeed, the labor force grew by more than 300,000 in October. White-collar businesses added 78,000 professional jobs. Healthcare added 45,000 positions. Restaurants hired 42,000 people. Builders beefed up employment by 31,000, reflecting an upturn in construction over the past year. Retailers took on 44,000 new workers. Retailers typically add workers in October, even more in November, for the holiday shopping season. There is usually a link between retail hiring and holiday sales, so this shows retailers are optimistic about a strong holiday shopping season. State and local governments added 5,000 jobs. State and local government employment is now up 212,000 from the bottom, but still 546,000 below the peak. Federal government payrolls dropped by 2,000 in October, so basically all the job growth we have seen from the bottom in 2008, that's private sector job growth. We might see some increase in government jobs in 2016 because of the recent passage of the budget bill, which undoes some of the sequestration caps. Also, the possible passage of a highway funding bill. The labor force participation rate was unchanged in October at 62.4%. That is a 38-year low. Now, this is the percentage of the working-age population in the labor force. The average number of weeks of unemployment rose slightly to 28. The employment rate stands at 59.3%. The employment rate measures the number actually working compared to the number who could work. After 185,000 full-time jobs were created in October, the total number of positions rose to 122.02 million. That tops the 121.61 million mark in December 2007, the start date for the recession. The recovery has, despite popular conceptions, been led by gains in full-time positions. In the past 12 months, for example, 2.34 million full-time jobs have been added, while 507,000 part-time jobs have been lost. Still, the high labor force participation rate and the low employment rate is troubling. Certainly part of it is demographics, as the baby boomers continue to march into retirement, willingly or not. So we turn to workers in their prime working years. The 25 to 54 participation rate increased in October to 80.7, and the 25 to 54 employment population ratio was unchanged at 77.2%. Roughly one in five workers in their prime working years are sitting on the sidelines, more women than men sitting on the sidelines. It's generally very difficult to be unemployed. France, Germany, and Japan all offer far more benefits for unemployed people, but they have far fewer working-age people out of work. American workers don't make enough to survive comfortably off welfare largesse. A possible explanation is that labor market flexibility allows employers to substitute the young and the old for prime-aged workers. The U.S. has relatively high participation rates for people age 15 to 24. It also has experienced a big rise in the participation rate for people over age 65, from 13% in 2000 to 19% last year. And so many workers in their prime working years just aren't in the labor pool, and 85% of those prime-age workers without jobs do not have a bachelor's degree. Many of those unemployed workers have skills not gained with a college degree. The recovery has been uneven. Geography plays a part. Rural America has been left behind in the shift to technology. We're no longer an agrarian society. And the worst unemployment and lowest participation rates are in rural areas, or areas that once had strong manufacturing presence. There's a big divergence between the industrial sector, where companies that are exposed to a strong dollar, slowing economies in emerging markets, and low oil prices are being hammered, and the broader job market and consumer economy in the United States, which is pretty much fine. Foreign competition and technological advances have eliminated many of the jobs in which high school graduates once could earn $40 an hour or more. This is a massive shift in the workforce. Sitting on the sidelines might be a refusal to take work that won't pay a living wage rather than face the harsh reality of accepting a job that can't support one's family. In other words, people who have been downsized, sometimes multiple times, just refuse to admit how desperate their situation really is. And even though the economy has added jobs, the slack in the labor market has not been enough to create wage push inflation. Employers have not been pushed to pay higher wages to lure the workers off the sideline. The Fed is concerned that once the slack comes out of the labor market, there will be a corresponding jump in wage inflation. We just haven't seen it yet. Maybe higher wages would lure workers off the sidelines, but the recovery has dragged out for so long that many of those workers have lost their skills. Many have also lost their health, physical and mental. Earlier in the week, we reported on a new study by Nobel economist Angus Deaton and his wife, Dr. Ann Case, showing that from 1999 to 2013, the death rate among non-Hispanic whites aged 45 to 54 with a high school education or less rose 22%, while they actually fell for those with a college education. There seems to be a direct link between decent-paying jobs and health, between the labor force participation rate and survival. The economy added 271,000 jobs, and any gain above roughly 150,000 was expected to keep Fed policymakers on track to raise interest rates from record lows at their upcoming December 15th and 16th meeting, though the Fed will have one more jobs report to digest before then. At 5%, the unemployment rate is very close to what would normally be considered the threshold for full employment by the Fed. Chair Janet Yellen and other leading Fed officials have said that the economy is generally healthy and that the December meeting is a live possibility for a rate hike. This morning, James Bullard, head of the St. Louis Federal Reserve, said that the global fears that caused the Fed to delay the rate hike have largely dissipated. Treasuries dropped after the jobs report was published. Traders see a 70% chance the Fed will boost interest rates from near zero at the December meeting. That's up from 56% odds before the release of the labor data. The calculations are based on the assumption the effective Fed funds rate will average 0.375% after the first increase, compared with the current range of 0 to 0.25%. In other words, everybody expects interest rate hikes to be small and gradual. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note climbed to 2.33%. Two-year note reached a high of 0.95%. That's a five-year high. The dollar surged past this year's high. The greenback gained against all of its 16 major peers. European shares erased losses as the weak euro bolstered exporters. Emerging market assets tumbled. You're seeing a real-time adjustment to the yield curve, and that's quite sensitive to all risk markets. There will also be an earnings drag as rate speculation leads to a stronger dollar, which will likely weigh on corporate top-line growth. Needless to say, the Fed will pay a lot of attention to forthcoming economic numbers, including, of course, the November employment report that will be released in about a month's time. Although the numbers are unlikely to be as strong as the October figures, they probably will reinforce perceptions that the U.S. economy continues to heal. And beyond the economic numbers, they'll be watching for a breakdown in emerging market economies or any possible breakdown on Wall Street or an exogenous event, the ever-fearful black swan. But remember, it's the last interest rate hike from the Fed that halts a bull market, not the first one. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. You'll find text, audio, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com. eatthebankers.com.